Welcome to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. Now, be prepared to be blessed as we hear a special word from Pastor Blakes.
I want to talk just for a few minutes today about elevating into a kingdom mindset. Elevating into a kingdom mindset. The kingdom of God, you know, we hear a lot about the kingdom of God. And usually when people hear that phrase, that term, the kingdom of God, they're thinking about heaven. They're thinking about swing low, sweet chariot. By and by, when the morning comes, you know. But that's not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God are two different things. Kingdom of heaven is where God, that's his house. That's where he lives. It's the White House. The kingdom of God is heaven's impact and influence in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. It is whatever is going on in heaven, it is that also going on in earth. The kingdom of God is God's system for affording the believers the power of dominion. Whew, I felt something in my spirit when I said that. And see, I feel something prophetically growing on the inside of me. There were some things that my father spoke of, days that would come. And he actually said, now, more than likely it's going to happen in your generation.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And he talked about dominion.
Yes, sir.
It is when God takes all of the restraints off of anything that you put your hand to, Brother Starling. That dominion is when you get to a place that nothing hinders. No vision is hampered or held up. It's when you put your mind on a business and God breathes on it. Come on, somebody shout, dominion. What the kingdom of God is all about. It's about dominion. The kingdom of God is when your family member's sick and you go and you lay hands on them. Dad wrote a book. Kingdom of God is where? Within you. Now, it has always been and still is God's desire to elevate his people above those that are not his. You're not supposed to be sitting around here dragging, holding down the bottom. Tell her husband is right down on the end here. Her husband is over here. Bring her by her husband. She need to go to her husband. Praise the Lord. She going the wrong way, though. He over on the other side. Yeah, she embarrassed now. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and 13. Hey, cuz. Love you, baby. I'm glad some of y'all decided to come to church and not go out there and get drunk at the jazz fest today. I don't know what y'all get out of that, walking around with all that mud and everything. Like a bunch of cows just, I don't know what that's all about, all that mud and everything. I don't want nothing like that. I don't know, man. I don't, yeah, you know, burning up and everything and all that. Yeah. What is this all about anyway? It's got to be demonic. You walk around all that mud. All them people that breathe flies all over that food. You there eating all that food, flies all over. Ooh. Y'all can have that stuff. To my New Orleans. You can have that. Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. Come on, somebody say, I'm the head.
I'm the head.
I'm not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Now you understand why there's a burning in you to get to the top. It's not pride. It's not arrogance. It's your nature.
That's it.
Touch your neighbor and tell them, I understand why I got to go to the top now. It's where you were designed to be. Okay. He said, thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God. My baby shouting. She said, I'm going, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So here God is, now watch this, God is instructing the people on his desire to make them kings in the land of promise. Now, you remember the original group, the original Hebrews that left out of Egypt, could not go into the land of promise. They could not realize dominion because their mindset was not compatible with dominion. Now, let me tell you something. I want y'all to hear me. It doesn't matter what kind of an anointing is in a church. It doesn't matter what kind of man of God you sit under. I saw people sit under dad for almost all of those 50 years, and they never moved. Other people come in 6 months, their life just take off the runway, they fly, and others had been here for 30 and 40 years, and they were still stuck in the same place. If you don't get your mind right, if your mind does not become compatible with dominion, if you don't have an elevated mindset, you will never have an elevated reality. Preach, Rep. Elevation originates between the ears. Now touch that neighbor next to you. Tell him, I see you shouting. But where's your mind? Some of y'all stuck on poverty. I'll give you a good way to be able to kind of detect if you're stuck on poverty when you come to church. If you're still struggling with tithing, you got a poverty mindset. You're still scared. I'm scared to do it. If I do that, I'm going to go under. Baby, if giving God a dime out of a dollar going to send you under, you already under. You need to get right with God so you can come up. Praise the Lord. Boy, I'm talking like I ain't got nowhere else to go. My goodness, Lord help me. Oh, Jesus. All right, number one. Three points I want to make, then I'm going to let you go. If we're going to step into or elevate into a kingdom mindset, number one, there must be preparation. Preparation. See, prophetic promise and prophetic potential always carries with it the burden of preparation. God, you know, man, God promised me a whole lot of things. God showed me a whole lot of things. And he spoke most of those things through my father. Yes, and, you know, for the longest when I was younger, Pastor Clark, I thought, okay, this is the prophetic word of God spoken over my life. Woo! I can't wait for it to manifest. I'm sitting back waiting. And then the reality hit me one day, wherever there's prophetic promise and prophetic potential, there must also be human participation. You can have a prophetic promise over your life. Jesus may have spoken it over your life himself. He may have come and manifested himself in your room and spoke a word over your life. Do you not know, along with that word, there must be preparation? And I'm here to submit to you right now that there are a lot of us who are not elevating. We're not going to the next level in life because we are too lazy. See, that didn't go over very well. You don't want to do nothing. You just want to sit around praying, and then, you know, there's a time to pray. And then there's a time to get up off of it and do something about it. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm trying to work on it. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, or lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth or prepares her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. She makes preparation in the summer that when things get lean, come on somebody, she'll have everything she needs because she what? Prepared. Now I want you to touch that neighbor next to you, ask him, what are you preparing for? Preparation requires vision, planning, and diligence. Vision, you got to see beyond where you're at now. You got to plan for where you want to go, and you got to stick to the process. See, because along the way, you're going to have different kinds of feelings. Things are going to look different from time to time. Sometimes it'll look like you're making it. Sometimes it'll look like you're not making it. But you got to stick to the process. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. He says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. What you see running through those series of verses there is that man has to plan. Man has to prepare. He has to get his mind right, and then God gets involved. There are too many of us that want to come and get a prayer. And we want somebody to anoint us with oil, and we want to do absolutely nothing. The Lord showed me I'm going to be a millionaire. You don't even have a bank account. Huh? You don't even have a bank account. Somebody gave you some money, you got to go put it up under the mattress. Praise the Lord. All right, number one is preparation. Number two is expectation. The one thing that separates people who realize promotion, prosperity, promise, and dominion is often simply expectation. They expect to win. They're surprised when things don't go. But most folk, you hear them, if things don't go right, the first thing they say is, I knew it. I felt it in my spirit. That's why it didn't go right, because you felt it in your spirit. When you get to the point when things don't go right, you say, man, I wonder what in the world happened. I just knew I was going to hit it this time here. But the average person, things don't go according to plan. The first thing they say is, I felt it in my spirit. They did not, meaning they did not expect to win from the beginning.
Yes.
Now let me ask you a question. What are you really expecting today? Are you really just expecting to maintain status quo, be in the same position this time next year as you are now? What are you expecting? Expectation is like a magnet. Yeah, watch this. People who rise versus those who stall is often that one expected to rise while the other expected not. Do you expect to win? Come on, somebody say, I expect to win. Come on, let's say it again. Come on, say, I expect to win. See how that thing is soaking in your spirit? See, that's meditation. Meditation is thinking the thing and saying it until that thing begins to impact your own spirit. Yes. Come on, say it. I expect to win. You know that sometimes people call me with good news about, well, this happened. Pastor, this went through. That didn't go through. And I say, praise the Lord. And then I move on. They're like, you don't seem like you're so happy. I say, I'm extremely happy. But I'm not, carried away because I expected it to go that way. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. You got to have a whole week party over something going well, meaning you were surprised. No. When it go right, I expect it to go right. I'm tripping when it's not working the way. That's when I'm scared. What in the world? What went wrong? Why it didn't go the way? What, I'm supposed to win. I ain't supposed to be hung up here with no jive stuff like this right here. I'm on top and going higher. I ain't got time to be hanging around this. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's what you expect. Come on, pull on that neighbor's hand, Tim. You got to expect it. Got to expect it. You sitting up in that hospital, man, you got to expect that doctor to come back and say, I don't know what happened. I was looking at the test, but it's gone now. I don't know. Look like we're going to have to let you out of here. Really, doc? Yeah. You don't look so surprised. I'm not, doc. I expected you to come back and say that. Peter walked on water because he expected to. I said, Peter walked on water because he expected to. Peter walked on water because he expected to. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 14, 27 through 29. But straightway Jesus spake unto him, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. They wondered who this is or what is this walking across the water at nighttime, and they thinking it's a ghost. He says, be not afraid. In verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, let me come unto you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water because he expected to. If Peter can walk on water because he had expectation and faith, what can you do? Now, one thing I want you to notice about this. Now, check this out, Pastor. One thing I want you to notice about this is that he had probably 11 other brothers that were in the ship that never walked because they didn't expect to. One thing you got to remember in life is that when you elevate your expectations, don't expect company. Elevated expectations is many times an isolated walk. The rest of them stayed in that boat because they didn't expect to go there. And there are a lot of y'all that have great expectations, but you're trying to convince other people who don't have that capacity. But, babe, you got to learn how to fly. Fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry. You're telling your age right now. Yeah, you're telling your age right now. You're telling your age right now. I know you're over 40 at least. I know you're over 40. That eagle get up there, man. That eagle just go to soaring. Don't care nothing about the hawk can't come, the pigeons can't come, doves can't come. Eagle get way up there and just soar by himself. Because when you have elevated expectations, many times you got to go by yourself. You got to leave your friends and your brothers in the boat while you walk the water. Don't try to bring them now because they're going to drown. Let them see you do it, and hopefully you inspire something in them, and that one day in the future, maybe they'll try it, they'll elevate their expectation. But when God elevates your expectation, you got to go by your... Now watch this. There was a man whose son was demon-possessed, and he went to Jesus for the boy's deliverance. Listen to what Jesus says to the man. And this is the Message Bible version in Mark 9, 23 and 24. Y'all get anything out of this? It says, Jesus said, if, this is the Message Bible version. Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, then I believe, help me with my doubts. Jesus said, you got to get the ifs out. It ain't no if. This thing is getting ready to happen for you. Your life is like a man smoking by a gas tank. You're about to blow up. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? I don't care what kind of hell you've been going through, babe. Hallelujah. Something's shifting in your life right now. It's not no ifs, it's when. Oh, I've almost, hallelujah. Things getting ready to go to the next dimension for you. I mean, everything getting ready to work. That's going to work. That's going to work. Your biggest problem is going to be able to keep up with the success. You're going to have to find places to put that money. That money is going to be coming in so fast. You're going to have to find places to put it. Hallelujah. One good place is the house of God. Glory to God. I feel something getting ready to shift in my life. Y'all not going to even recognize me in 12 months. Everything about to work. When you get the if out, God will step in. Y'all sit down. Boy, I wish I had unlimited time. I feel like just working this thing like a bulldog today, just locking in on her. Don't let it go, you know? Shoot. Man, everything. Everything. You hear what I'm saying? Everything. I just want to stir something up on you, on the inside of your spirit. Everything. If thou canst believe, when we are certain God is constant, when we are certain God is constant, God always going to be on his post. He is waiting for us to become certain. Now, let me shut this down. Number one, I said preparation. Elevating into a kingdom mindset starts with preparation, then it moves to expectation, and then attraction. Elevation is fueled by favor. And favor must be attracted. Yeah. Touch that neighbor and just ask him, are you attracting favor to your life? See, the stuff I need favor. And it's cool to have, you know, favor with men. God will give you that. But I need that favor that comes from above. When we truly honor God and keep God first, favor always follows. Now, there you have it, and I'm done. Where is God? Where is God really on your list of priorities? Where is he at on your list of priorities? I I don't know if we have enough of us that really have God first. We got those that are members of this church that are, what they say, they're paying $70, $80 to get into the fairgrounds, to be in the sun, to walk in the mud, to eat food with flies on it. And the same people that go through all that, spend all that to go in the fairgrounds, to hear all them people singing many times all out of key. They got to pay the park, then they got to walk all day. Show up every Sunday or whenever Sunday they decide to come and won't even tie. And then when they need to see things go to the next level, they want to come down the aisle talking about, can you pray a special prayer for me? You know, if you put God first, you know, you really don't need nobody to pray no special prayer for you. If you really put God first, you know you really don't need nobody to pray no special prayer for you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be what? Added unto you. Look how it reads in the Message Bible. It says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. When you put God first, you attract favor to your life, and everything you need will just manifest. Now I'm done. Go to Genesis 22. Let me show you something there. Genesis 22, verses 15 through 17. Sacrifice attracts favor. And I believe that sometimes God gives us occasion or gives us opportunities to sacrifice, and we fail the test. Sometimes God is like, okay, I'm going to test you to see if you love me more than this. And if you pass the test, then everything that you've been begging me for, asking me for, I'm going to unfold it. Look, here you have Abram and Isaac. Abraham and Isaac. And God tells Abraham to do what with Isaac? Sacrifice. Meaning what, literally? Kill him. Now, how did Abraham feel about Isaac? He what? Loved him because he was his only son, not biological son, but only son of covenant. He was the promise that God made to him. And God gives him to him, loans him to him, and then God says, now give him back to me, Abram. Go and sacrifice him. And Abram gets all the stuff necessary to make a sacrifice, and he takes the boy, and you know what he does. He sneaks him out of the house from Sarah. He, you know, ain't no way in the world he got that boy out of that house. I can imagine talking about, I'm going to take Trey and go sacrifice him. It'll be a sacrifice, but it sure won't be Trey. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Lisa and the girls, all of them been killed me up in there, you know, and be crying at my funeral. We don't know what happened to him. Somebody attacked him. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that Abram took him, and Abram was getting ready to sacrifice him because he loved God more than Isaac. And in Genesis 22, 15 through 17, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn. Abram getting ready to kill him. The angel says, stay your hand, don't kill the boy. For because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. He says, because you have done this thing. He didn't even do it. He just did it in his heart. He said, because you've done this thing, now I'm going to release you into the dimension that God always intended for you. There's some things that God is requiring of you today. There's some things that God is requiring of you today. He's been requiring it of you, and you've been holding it back and not understanding that you've really been holding back your own promotion. Standing to your feet.
Thank you for listening to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. You can write us or send a prayer request to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, P.O. Box 571083, Houston, Texas, 77257. Be sure to mention that you heard us on the podcast. You may also call us at 713-991-1302. If you live in the Houston or New Orleans areas, or if you're just visiting, we invite you to come join us at one of our powerful, family-oriented services where we are building a future for you. Our Houston location is 4805 Shermire Street in Houston, Texas. In New Orleans, we're at 13800 Hayne Boulevard in East New Orleans, Louisiana. For service times, directions, or more information about our ministry, call 713-991-1302. In the New Orleans area, call 504-244-6968. Our email is rc@comehometonewhome.org. And be sure to visit our website at www.comehometonewhome.org. Remember, you're on top and you're going higher. God has more in store for you.